What a blessing that service will be. First Sunday of April. Praise the Lord for our final hymn this morning, church. Yes, Belle? Oh, praise the Lord. That's even better. I hadn't looked on the calendar yet, but that's good timing. Ellie?
Just a quick request. If you guys could keep me in prayer, I started feeling lousy this morning, so I took my blood pressure, and it said it was 173 over 87.
Whoa, that's really high.
I take two medications, so
yeah.
It's just a flu thing.
Yeah.
Moving around can make it go up.
Yeah, I just feel shaky and flush.
And then if you sit down and rest, you know, it'll draw.
Yeah, it does. My blood pressure was always really low, like 114 over 71 my whole life. And about a year ago, I went for my physical, my annual physical, and my blood pressure was 137 over, I don't know, 85, something like that. It was high. And I said, why is that, doc? And she said, sometimes, it fluctuates, it varies. And next time I went back, it was back down to normal. So it's really a weird thing, the blood pressure.
Have your magnesium levels tested.
Magnesium.
Magnesium.
That's what was wrong with Alex.
Magnesium levels. Yeah. Well, yeah.
One of the things, yeah.
These things don't work together.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read this card to the church before we sing our final hymn. It's got my name on it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear pastor. Happy birthday to you.
That's in the hymn.
Thank you. And many more. Praise the Lord. I love it. Everybody signed it. Wishing someone, especially you, a world of beauty on her birthday. Who did that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Let me stretch it out.
Cross it out and write his. I don't quite qualify. Hey.
You didn't go and do something funny.
You all didn't know you have female pastor? They're all leaving church now.
I am so sorry.
Hold on.
Each other as kids.
A world of beauty on his birthday. Hey. All right, let's grab our hymnals and stand. 57 years young. I can't believe it. Boy, oh boy, time flies when you're having fun serving the Lord. Let's stand and let's turn to, let's see here. Let's go to 134 for our final hymn prior to the message. 134, Blessed Assurance, Fanny Crosby. And let's sing the first and the second. Praise the Lord. Yes, indeed. That's what we have.
Let's sing it all. Jesus is mine, O Lord of hosts, O glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God.
in a second. Yes, Lord.
Perfect submission, perfect in life. Visions are rushed, now burst on my soul.
See the church. What a privilege it is to praise Him all the day, to know Him. Well, let's grab our Bibles at this time. Don't ask me who this handsome guy is sitting in the front row here with the fresh haircut.
I don't know,
but we might have to get him a bodyguard to keep the ladies away. You know, he's got that. And he told me this morning, he said, "Pastor, I got a new leg to stand on." Literally. Look at that. Isn't that something? Boy, oh boy, that's a weapon, man. You better not mess with that guy.
$6 million man.
Yeah. He told me the other day, he says, "Pastor, I'm RoboCop." He said, I got metallic parts in me. Oh, it's good to cut up and have fun. But let's grab our Bibles, beloved, this morning. We'll get back to the hymnals afterward. But let's open up to the Gospel of Luke this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. And I've got a special message for you today that the Lord laid on my heart this week, which I believe is timely. In Luke chapter 17, the Lord is busily preaching and teaching the kingdom of God in His earthly ministry. And as He's passing through Samaria here in chapter 17, He heals 10 lepers, but only one returns to thank Him. It's a lot like people today. They get saved and they're so unthankful. It boggles my mind. But when Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, the Pharisees are waiting for Him. And they're making demands upon Him. Look with me in Luke chapter 17. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. In verse number 26, in Luke chapter 17, in verse 26, drop back with me to verse 20. I want to show you something here. Look at verse 20 for a minute. "And when he," Jesus, "was demanded of the Pharisees," you see what the Pharisees, the religious crowd, come to Jesus and they're making demands on Jesus. That's a lot like the church today. Like these guys, Copelandites and Osteenites and the Creflo Dollarites. It's called dominion theology. They believe in dominion theology. If they boss God around, they tell God what to give them. "Wow. I want a $65 million jet. You get it for me. I want it tomorrow." See, that's the Pharisees. They demand. Look at it, verse 20. "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them, and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, boys." He said, "You guys won't even see it. Never mind. Don't worry about it." Right? And that's the answer he'll give to these shysters that are just using the Bible to get rich. But drop down with me to verse 26. And Jesus says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, and they drank, and they married wives, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came, and destroyed them all." Whew. "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and is stuffed in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife." Jesus says, "Remember Lot's wife." I want to preach you a sermon I've entitled, "Remembering Lot's Wife." Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the words in red. Lord, how we thank you that no man demands of thee anything, but you command us and we obey. Lord, we thank you that you are King, Master, and Lord of the universe, though they don't know it yet. Lord, we thank you for the stern warning in verse 32 to remember Lot's wife. Lord, there's something in this passage that you want us to know and to consider and to contemplate. And it needs to be done in these last days of the last days. So, Father, we ask your blessing upon your word. We ask you to show us what meaneth these things, O God, and your Holy Spirit to give us spiritual enlightenment in this text that we might understand about remembering Lot's wife. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Abraham was called out of Mesopotamia by God to dwell in the land of Canaan and to be a patriarch of a people who would be separated from the nations of the world as God's special people, his chosen elect nation, and that they would love, serve, and obey him. And when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, he took with him a young man named Lot, who was his nephew. Lot remained with Abraham until their sheep and cattle became too numerous, and Abraham gave Lot his choice of all the land that was before them. But Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and the cities of Gomorrah. Whoa. He chose the big city. He chose to expose his family to evil and wickedness. So God sends five kings with their armies to overtake the cities of the plain, including Sodom, where Lot and his family were. They take them all captive, and Abraham hears about it, and he gets his little band of men together. And I say little because there were just a few, but they had God with them, amen? And they went out and they defeated those five armies, and they took back Lot and the spoil, and Melchizedek appeared to him. And at that time, Lot returned to Sodom. He didn't learn. I want to speak to you this morning, beloved, on remembering Lot's wife. In so doing, I want to give you four things, and I'll be done. The first thing I want you to see is this. We need to remember that she was Lot's wife. Amen? She was Lot's wife. Go with me to Genesis 19. In Genesis chapter 19, we have the historical events taking place down in Sodom and Gomorrah. And look what he says here in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom." Notice where Lot is sitting. Notice where Lot is making his abode. Notice where Lot is dwelling and vexing his righteous soul from day to day. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning, that world out there will vex you with their ungodly deeds. It will just make you miserable because you have the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he's down there sitting in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, here in chapter 19, in verse 1, Lot recognizes these two men as angels from heaven, right? Drop down with me to verse 15. And he invites them to his home to stay the night. And when the morning arose, and then the angels hasten Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city." He said, the angels warn him, get your family out of Dodge quick, because the fire of God is going to fall. Folks, we need to warn the world today that the fire of God is going to fall. And they need to get saved quick before it's too late. The Antichrist is coming. The mark of the beast. The whole shenanigans of the tribulation. And people need to get saved before it's too late. And look with me down here and drop down to verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Now Zoar was a city of refuge for him. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. I like that. Then the Lord, second person of the Godhead, rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord, first person of the Godhead, out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Wow. She became a pillar of salt. Why? Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that even though she was Lot's wife, she perished in the destruction for looking back. Now listen carefully. She was the wife of a godly man who made poor choices. According to 2 Peter chapter 2, down around verse 7, Lot was just, that is, justified in an Old Testament sense, okay? He was a believer. Abraham led him to the Lord. But his wife lived with him all these years, and despite all his faults, he was a righteous man, a just man. She was united to Lot in the closest possible bonds of matrimony, and yet she perished in the destruction from heaven. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that there are many who think because they're married to a Christian, or my mom's a Christian, or my son's a preacher, that somehow they've got a golden ticket to get into heaven. And it's not right. It's not going to work. Because she didn't get saved for her own self. She was depending upon her husband's faith and not her own. Listen carefully. She had journeyed with God's people under Abraham's leadership, and he was a godly leader. Yet she perished. She seemed to be a sharer in the privileges of God's people, yet she perished. Did you know that being married to a believer does not make you a believer? That makes sense, right? Listen, no earthly relationship can possibly help us if we are not saved ourselves. Her name is never mentioned in the scripture. In all the Bible, she's simply called Lot's wife. And she approved it, listen, she approved of it when her own daughters married the wicked men of Sodom. She said, no problem. She heard Lot when he held the family devotions and read the scripture to his family and had family prayer, but she wasn't saved. She had the greatest advantages possible, but still perished in the destruction. Back to Luke 17. Hold your place in Genesis. We're coming right back. In Luke 17, look at verse 34. Jesus says, words in red, "I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left." Does that sound familiar? Like we just read in Genesis 19? The one shall be taken, the other one left. Folks, this is not the rapture Jesus is speaking of. This is the second advent. And they're not being taken to heaven by rapture. They're being taken to judgment. It's the judgment of the nations. Look at it. Verse 34. One shall be taken, the other shall be left. The one that's left goes into the kingdom. We know that. Verse 35. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other one left. How many times does Jesus use this wording? One shall be taken, the other one left. They're working together. They're married together. they're out driving for Sunday drive together, and one is taken and one is left. Why? Because one is saved and one is not. One is heading for judgment and one is heading for heaven. Look at verse 36. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Whithersoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Now, notice here, in verse number 36, that one is taken, one is left, because one is a true believer and one is not. Folks, this was the case with Lot's wife. Jesus is saying, remember that woman who was married to Lot? She perished in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because she wasn't a true believer. Listen carefully. It is reported that Bradley Automotive Division of Thor Corporation is selling a fiberglass body shell. It fits perfectly onto a VW chassis from a Beetle Bug. The body is very modern and sporty, giving the impression that it is a $60,000 GT. On the outside, it looks extremely expensive, but on the inside, it's still just a Volkswagen Bug. See, that's how a lot of church-going people are. On the outside, they appear to be saved. They carry the King James Bible. They sing the songs. They put money in the plate. They get baptized, but they're not saved. How horrifying a thought is it that the person sitting next to you this morning could end up perishing like Lot's wife? Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Oh, how we need to take... She perished through unbelief. But secondly, this morning, concerning Lot's wife, not only do we need to remember that she was Lot's wife and still perished, but we need to remember that she went some way toward being saved, but she wasn't. Look with me back in our text, in Genesis chapter 19 again. And look with me in Genesis 19 at verse 15. Genesis 19, look at verse 15. She went some way toward being saved, but she wasn't. Verse 15, we read, And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered, what? That's a strange verse, isn't it? Oh, I think I'll just hang around till the fire falls. Maybe I can outrun it, you know. I'd tailing it out of there quick. While he lingered, the men, the angels, laid hold upon his hand. And upon the hand of who?
His wife.
His wife. Beloved, did you catch that? She was touched by an angel. And she perished. You know what? God will touch you. God's Holy Spirit will draw you. God's Holy Spirit will open your heart to the gospel. But you have to decide whether or not to accept it. They grab her by the hand and say, Come on, woman! The fire's going to fall! We got to get out of this town quick! And to just linger in behind like, Oh, hum. Maybe when it starts, I'll go. Look at the verse 16. Laid hand upon his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. Notice that. The Lord being merciful unto Lot. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now they're outside of Sodom, but they're not yet to Zoar. They're in between. There's a decision to make. Am I going to go back to Sodom, back to my way of doing things, or am I going to listen to God and go to Zoar and be safe? You've got a decision to make. Am I going to live the way God tells me to live? Am I going to walk in the Spirit and have my nose buried in this book and be sanctified? Or am I going to live like the world? Am I going to just live like the devil out there and come to church and praise the Lord? You've got a decision to make. She made the wrong decision, folks. Remember Lot's wife, he says. Now, listen carefully. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Time out, church. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do you realize that eternal lives, eternal souls are at stake, church? This message is very serious. He says, if you escape, you will escape with your life. If you escape the damnation of this world and of the god of this world, small g, you will escape with eternal life in Jesus Christ. Look at it. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Question, church. Did the angel stutter? Did God's message through the angel, was it confusing? Was it too theologically deep to understand? No! She understand plainly the command of God not to look back. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be what? Consumed. You'll be consumed. The angel said, listen, God's got a message for you. Get out and get out quick. Otherwise, you'll be destroyed with the destruction of the Sodomites. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, this nation, America, pretty soon they're going to put me in jail. I'm telling you, mark my words, because I will not stop preaching against Sodomites. I will not stop preaching against sin, like Billy Sunday said, as long as I got gums, I'll gum it to death. You know? Because I've got to preach this word. I've got a mandate from God to preach this word. Whether the White House likes it or not, I have to speak the truth. I pastored a church in Canada years ago. And in Canada, they didn't like me up there because I preached against homosexuality. It's illegal in Canada for ministers to preach against homosexuality. And I said, put my tape on the radio. Put my message on the air. Let them come lock me up. I didn't care. I didn't care at all. I preached it anyway. So you shouldn't say it, you know. Hey, man, it's what the Bible says. Look at verse 17. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now, listen carefully. Lot's wife was heading in the right direction. Are you listening? She was with Lot, a saved man, and the girls, her daughters. She rose up early with her husband. She made preparation to leave. She ran down the streets. She passed through the city gate. She even reached the open plains along with her husband. She was willing for a while to go with them, following his example, until she began to think what she was leaving behind. And then she started to slow down. She started to reconsider her decision. And yes, she went part way, but not all the way. She had second thoughts. You know what we do sometimes as a Christian? We're running for God. Yeah, I'm on fire for the Lord. You know, just charging hell with a squirt gun, giving out gospel tracts, telling people about Jesus, coming to church, singing the songs, faithful. And start to slow down a little bit. I'm getting a little tired. Huh? Yeah. I don't know. I might need to take a little rest on the sofa, you know, and just sit behind the television for a while. See what my favorite... give me that clicker, will you? Yeah. I think I'll skip church today. And what happens? They stop coming to church. Stop reading the Bible. Stop praying. Stop fellowshipping with other spirit-filled believers. And pretty soon, you're going to look back to your old life. You're going to look back to Sodom. You're going to think about the leeks and the garlics and the onions in Egypt. And you're going to look back like Lot's wife did. She was almost saved, but not quite. Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I wish that not only wert thou persuaded, but thou was as I am. I'm ad-libbing, of course. He didn't get saved. Agrippa said, almost, but not quite. This was Lot's wife, beloved. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, notice the angels lay hold upon his wife's hand. Wow! That's a touch from heaven! God is calling this woman to repentance, and she won't hear. Listen very carefully. She was out of the city and almost to Zoar, but she stopped. You know what happens if you stop going forward for God? I'm taking a sabbatical, Pastor. I'm going to take some time off from church. You know, think things over. No, you're going backwards. You're not standing still. There's no such thing in the Christian life. You need to be going forward all the time, progressing, growing spiritually, learning more and more. No Christian has arrived. We're all on a progressive upward track. But as soon as we stop, like Lot's wife, hey, folks, let me ask you a question. What did Lot's wife have to do in order to look back? Could she keep on running? No, she had to stop. She had to stop. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to stop you from coming to this church. He wants to stop you from reading that book. He wants to stop you from getting on your knees and praying and fasting and seeking God's face. He wants to stop you so that you look back, so that you perish, so that you don't serve him. I'm here to tell you. Listen carefully. Many hundred years ago, they ventured to remark that Noah had some carpenters to help him build the ark. But sad to say, on that last day when Noah entered in, those carpenters were left outside and perished in their sin. How sad to think they may have helped to build the ark so great. Yet still they heeded not God's word, and awful was their fate. Today the same sad state exists amongst the sons of men. They helped to build the so-called church who are not born again. They stayed behind for sacrament, they work, they sing, they pray, yet never have accepted Christ, the life, the truth, the way. Another judgment day will come, as sure as came that flood, and only those will be secure who shelter neath Christ's blood. Only those will be secure who shelter neath Christ's blood. Wow. Folks, you know what? We've got to tell them that without the blood of Jesus being applied to their hearts and souls, they have no hope of escaping the destruction that is to come. Oh my, I'm so glad this morning that we know the truth of what's coming. Listen, thirdly, this morning concerning Lot's wife, we must remember that though she went some ways toward being saved, yet she perished through sin. Why did she perish? I'll tell you why she perished. Because of sin. It's in the text. Listen, I see three ways that she sinned before perishing. One, she lingered behind. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him. Notice the words from behind him in verse 26 of Genesis 19. Where was Lot's wife positionally? Behind him and the girls. She was lagging behind, folks. You know what I fear? A Christian who lags behind. Yeah, well, you know, Pastor, it's awfully tough to give out a gospel tract. I don't know if I have time to read my Bible. I don't know if I have time to pray, Pastor. You know, and I say, you're too busy. You're too busy. Amen? Because you need, if you don't have time to be with the Lord, you won't have time for anything else in your life. And like Lot's wife, you'll be lagging behind. Look at verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him. Here's Lot. Here's the girls. Let's go, let's go. There's Mrs. Lot. She's back here. Got a decision to make. And folks, first of all, her first sin was lingering behind. For him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, Mrs. Lot, it is what? Sin. You know you're supposed to pray. You know you're supposed to read that book. You know you're supposed to come to church. You know you're supposed to tithe. But you don't. And you know what it is to you who know it? It's sin, the Bible says. She perished through sin first because she lingered behind. Mrs. Lot began to slow down. She fell behind the rest of the pack. She didn't have the heart of sincere faith that is required to run the race with patience and perseverance. Listen to me. You need to persevere, not to get saved, because you're saved. Perseverance is a doctrine of the Bible, but it has nothing to do with getting saved. It has to do with one who already is saved. Now, she didn't persevere. She didn't keep on going. We need to run the race that is set before us with patience, looking unto brother so-and-so. No, looking unto Jesus. Amen. As long as we keep our spiritual eyes glued on him, like what Val says, it's only by his grace I'm standing, Pastor. It's only by his grace I get anything done. She's right. Looking unto Jesus, we can keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ. She did not have the divine power of God's Spirit in her. That's why she failed. Lot did. The daughters obviously did. They listened to Dad, and they got out. But listen, folks. Lot's wife was missing the key ingredient the Holy Spirit of God. Secondly, I see another way she sinned. Her second sin, she disbelieved what had been clearly told her by the Lord. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he, the angel, said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." God sent a special messenger to this woman from heaven and told her she doesn't hearken and escape to the mountain, that she would be what? Consumed. You know that God is speaking to the world today, warning them to flee the wrath to come, lest they be consumed, but they don't believe it. They don't believe it. Neither did Lot's wife. She disbelieved what had been told her. Here is an angelic messenger sent from God with specific instructions for them to follow. But she did not truly believe what they said. Therefore, she disobeyed the divine orders from God. Do you know why Christians get into drinking, smoking, pornography, all kinds of wickedness? It's because they do not believe what God says. Because God says if you do those things, your flesh will reap corruption. Christian, that's not written to the world. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 6 is written to God's people. Do you know you can die before your time, Christian? We can hold your funeral early for you if you'd like. Just go out there and sin. Party up. And you'll die young. Why? Because you're saved.
That's right.
God will not allow you to perish with the world. But folks, listen. She disobeyed divine orders. It's because she did not believe the message. Thirdly, a third sin. She rebelled against God's warning and dared to look. Verse 26. Look at it. But his wife what?
Looked back
from behind him. Now, notice the downward progression of sin. First, she lingered behind. Then, she stopped. Then, she looked back. You see it? It's a threefold digression. Sin is a downward path. Sin is always a downward spiral that ends in destruction. Sin will kill you. I'm here to tell you this morning, sin will kill you. See, you know, the world scoffs and laughs at, "Oh, you're against homosexuals." No, I'm not. I love them. And I want them to be saved. That's why I tell the truth, man. "Oh, you know, you're against women's rights." No, I'm for babies' rights. "Oh, you know, you're against Common Core." Yeah, when they teach second grade girls that kissing each other, they make them kiss each other in class, is normal. Common Core.
Yeah.
Education. Folks, we're not against them. We're for God. And they think we're against them. Like this, she rebels against God's warning. Now notice, why most people do not get saved is because they rebel against the Word of God. They don't want to be subject to it. On the coast of Normandy, where Mount St. Michael stands, the sea tide goes out for about 5 miles and suddenly comes back in like a racehorse. In the summer of 1875, two ladies were examining some old ruins on the beach, the sands. "Come away now," said the elder. "Don't run any risks." "Oh, just let me finish this sketch, this portrait," replied the younger. She was an English artist. But while she tarried and continued to sketch, the tide rushed in and she was swept away and drowned. Why? Because she wouldn't take heed to the warning that the elder gave her. The elder sister lived because she knew that tide was coming in and she ran for her life. The younger one, "I think I'll just put a few more strokes. Oh, crash, the waves come in and kill her, you know." That's how most people are. Jesus isn't coming. What do you mean? You believe that Bible? Second coming? Oh, Antichrist? That's such a joke. Let's make another Hollywood movie to mock it, you know. They don't believe God's word. Listen, she was swept away. She drowned because she wouldn't take warning. She perished through sin. And that's how most people perish. But finally, this morning, we must remember concerning Lot's wife, We must remember that her doom was terrible. Her doom was terrible. Look with me back in our text in Genesis chapter 19. Look at verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him. And she became a what? Pillar of salt. Whoa! She became a pillar of salt. Whoa! Remember, beloved, that she had ample opportunities for coming to the true and living God of Abraham, but she didn't. Remember that she had a just believing husband named Lot, but she didn't come to God. Remember that she had a direct divine warning from the angels, but she didn't take heed. Remember that she was chosen to receive God's mercy, but she didn't. Why? The Lord says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Three things I want us to consider in closing concerning Lot's wife, concerning her doom, which was terrible. First, her doom, it was terrible because of where her doom befell her. Look at verse 23. Don't miss this. It was terrible because of where it took place. Verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Now notice here. Think with me, beloved. In verse 23, they enter Zoar. In verse 26, she perishes. Zoar was a place of refuge. Zoar was a place of safety. Zoar was a place where you could have, put your shorts on and gotten a suntan. Why? Because it was safe, right? But she perished at the gates of Zoar. Look at this. Lot enters into Zoar, but his wife perishes just outside of it. That close. She was that close to being saved, but she wasn't. Now, to be so close to entering into the place of safety, think of it. And all she had to do was take one more step, the step of faith, into Zoar. That's all she had to do. One more step, the step of faith. But she didn't. Secondly, her doom was terrible because her doom was sudden. Look at verse 26. It says, his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. It didn't say after she got baptized. It didn't say after she joined the church. It didn't say 10 years down the road when she grew a little. It says immediately, suddenly, she became a pillar of salt. There was no delay in her destruction. Her doom was terrible because it was sudden. She didn't have time to repent. She didn't have time to think it over. She didn't have time to change her mind. Because once she made that fatal move of looking back, she perished. She became a pillar of salt. You know what it says down there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2? It says, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. They shall not escape Lot's wife. Wow! Suddenly, her doom came upon her. Thirdly, her doom was terrible because her doom befell her while in the very act of sin. Listen, how dreadful must it be to enter into eternity while being in a direct act of disobedience against God? Go back to Luke 17 again. Look at this. In Luke 17, I want you to think with me. She was in the act of sin when she became a pillar of salt. Could you imagine entering eternity while disobeying God? That's a nasty thought. I want to be ready, amen, when he comes. I don't want to be lingering behind. I don't want to be stopped at a standstill. And I don't want to be looking back. I want to be ready to welcome the Lord. I want to be ready to fall at his feet. I want to be ready to worship and praise him. Look with me here in Luke 17 at verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of who?
Lot.
They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. It sounds a lot like the world today. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 29 is a picture of what? They went out and the fire came down. That's a picture of the rapture. Lot is a type. Typology is important in the Bible. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Remember what she did. Remember the mistake she made. Remember the disobedience she gave. And remember that she perished in the very act of sin against God. Wow. That is scary. The abuser of his wife and children, the drunkard in the gutter, the drug addict shooting another fix of heroin, the homosexual in his wickedness, all will face the judgment of God in the very act of their sin. How horrifying a thought, church, is that? John Bunyan, my favorite. Pilgrim's Progress. Anyone not read Pilgrim's Progress? If you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, you haven't lived. Oh, man. I got a few copies. I'll give you a copy. I'll bring one tonight. John Bunyan, in his greatest classic, Pilgrim's Progress. By the way, Pilgrim's Progress, number 2 best-selling book of all time in the history of the world. Number 2 to what? KJV. You know it. Number 2 best-selling book in all time, Pilgrim's Progress. In Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan tells of ignorance, fumbling at the gate of the celestial city for his certificate and finding none. And at the command of the great king, the two shining ones bound him hand and foot and cast him through the door in the side of the hill into utter darkness. Then I saw, said Christian, that there was a way to hell even from the gates of heaven, as well as from the city of destruction. Wow. Then I saw that there was a way to hell from the gates of heaven as well as from the city of destruction. Wow. Some people, what's he saying? He's saying some people get so close to making heaven their home, but they perish like Lot's wife. My message this morning, remember Lot's wife. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the example that you used, Lord Jesus, concerning Lot's wife. Remembering Lot's wife will cause us to draw closer to thee. Remembering Lot's wife will cause us to worship and serve thee like never before. Remembering Lot's wife will cause us to warn the lost before it's too late to get saved. Father, we thank you for the message today, and we pray at this time of invitation that you would stir our hearts first, that we examine our own selves and make sure that our hearts are right before thee, that we might be the servants you've called us to be, walking in sanctification through the Spirit of Jesus Christ within and washed with that pure water of the Word of God. And then, Lord, we pray that you would give us a deeper burden to warn the lost that there is a sudden destruction coming from heaven. The fire will fall upon the Sodoms and Gomorrahs of this world, and they must escape for their eternal lives before it's too late. Oh, what an example we have in Lot's wife. And oh God, how we need to learn. Lord, the world is not going to take heed to this message, but it's your people. We need to take heed. We need to remember her mistakes, and we need to warn all those we come in contact with. And we thank you, Lord, for the time you're giving us. We know it's very short. The devil knoweth it's short. He hath but a short time. And Lord, he's working overtime. You know what that tells me? Lord Jesus, we need to be working triple overtime for thee. We need to be walking in your Spirit. We need to be proclaiming the truth of the gospel of grace. We need to be sharing the love of Jesus with those who need him now more than ever before. Because, Lord, we don't know if we have tomorrow. We just thank you today for the word of warning from your word today. Help us to take heed and bless this time of invitation and speak to your people's hearts, beginning with me. In Jesus' name we pray. The people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, beloved. And let's open up this morning for a hymn of invitation. Let's open up to hymn number 3. one of our favorite hymns. Wonderful words of life. That's what we need. And we'll stand and we'll sing the first and the second, church. Yes.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, they're wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Cross the blessed one gives to all, wonderful words of life. Open us to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Amen! Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, they're wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Words of life and beauty,
teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Oh, amen. Praise the Lord for those wonderful words of life in the Bible. And beloved, I just want to encourage you this week, commit to the Lord to share the gospel with somebody he brings across your path. Give him a gospel tract. Tell him Jesus loves him. And invite him to church. But more importantly, invite him to Jesus. Amen. Love you all. 6 o'clock tonight if you can. The 8 Mysteries of the New Testament, part 2. Praise the Lord. And we're going to have Brother Carl, if you could dismiss us in prayer this morning. So good to see you all.
Lord, we thank you for the message we had this morning. We thank you for bringing us all out to the service today, Lord. We pray you to implant this message. You give us the true meaning of it. You help each of us to keep our eye straight forward, Lord. Ever moving toward the ultimate goal of our lives, Lord, and moving forward for you and with you. Keep us, Lord, from ever slowing or stumbling or stopping, Lord. Being like last life and turning, Lord, that's the one thing we can't do and don't want to do. We just pray, Lord, you'd guide us along this way. You'd give us the strength to continue on. We pray, Lord, you'd be with us throughout our journey. We ask you to give us safety in travel and bring us back this evening, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.